Can you hear the music?
Yes.
Can you?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, you're the first one in a long time that's been able to hear
it. Loud and clear.
Nice. Oh yeah. Can't wait to get lyrics out of here, hopefully sometime this year.
Yeah.
This is my favorite part, right? There. The pause. Yeah. It's more like 680. not a banker. Not that we kick babies. Oh, man. All right. Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. And shout out to Ascension Boychuk, man, for, you know, that intro, outro music. And, man, find him everywhere. But I'm pumped for this week's episode, man. What's going on, Haley? How are you?
Oh, good. Just got off work. Finally, hopefully get to stay home for the night, but you never know.
Yeah, never know, man. Like, we've been trying to plan this episode for, you know, get you on for what, a week or so?
Yeah. Yep.
About a week. Yeah. Which is not bad. Some, you know, I've been planning for 2-3 years. This is year three of the podcast, by the way.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We're in year three. This is first episode outside of my solo episode for the year, my first one, but this is the first episode of the year where, you know, I have someone else on. And year three, you're on year three. We, you know, you're here.
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
Just hanging out. It's cold. I'm over the winter already.
Oh man, I'm in Northern Alberta, right? I'm in like Northern Canada. And yeah, it, all of December was like minus 30 something here, minus 40 something, whatever. We got more snow, 400 times more snow in Edmonton, where I live, than we've had in 30 years.
Wow. And
I think this has been like the coldest Alberta, or I don't know what it was. It was like we've had more precipitation since like they started recording that shit or something like that, which it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But now it's plus 7 outside.
Yeah, it was really cold, and we've got probably the most snow we've gotten in a few years. But this past week, it's been like 55. So now everything is melting. I've got to worry about trucks sliding off the road and all that stupid crap. But and then we're going to get cold again. So now we got to deal with all the ice.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what it's like here, right? We got to change up on a good day, right? Because we're in the back. In the back 40 on shitty roads and leases, you know what it's like. Where I am in Fox Vegas, though, we're quite known in Fox Creek. We call ourselves Fox Vegas, I guess. But the strip, when you roll into town, it's a little oil field town. You roll in on the strip, the beautiful bright lights of it reminds you of Vegas, and you know, nothing. It's nothing like Vegas, but you know,
right.
The sand haulers and the pumpers and the vac trucks and, you know, everything hauling rigs around and shit. And yeah, man, it's been crazy. You know, it's kind of nice to be able to feel my fingers and my toes again.
Yeah. It's always the best feeling when you can get home and you finally have feelings back and all that stuff.
Yeah. I work. So do you get to go home every night? You work in the town you live in?
Yeah, for the most part, I get to go home every night. I mean, if I'm going downstate, or sometimes we'll do trips out of state to get equipment or trucks and stuff like that. But 99% of the time, I'm home every night. But nice. I mean, I could always get a call out at 2 a.m. or run 24 hours hauling water to a drill rig or something like that. So it's up and down, honestly.
I work on a vac truck, and you know, I work 3 hours away from home. I come up for a couple weeks at a time, and then I go home. And now there's times where, you know, I've been away for months, many months at a time. Right? And it's just, yeah, you know, the lifestyle. You never know. I'm on call like the same as you, on call 24/7. And, you know, I think I tried to plan another podcast after you like, hey, I got to go to bed. Right. And I got back, and just as I was getting back, buddy's like, hey man, it's kind of getting close to the wire for recording a podcast, you know? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I don't know if I'm going to get called out. He doesn't know if he's going to get called out. Right. And you know, that's the hardest part about having a blue collar podcast, but also, you know, blue collar oil field on call. Seven to make it 3 years into this podcast is absolutely mind boggling to me. The conditions in which I've done it on is crazy. But like this past week, I think is when I felt the most pressure with my podcast and with my schedule. Right.
Yeah.
And it's nuts. It's nuts to me that, you know, it's taken 3 years to feel the pressure of that, you know? And I don't know whether or not that's because, you know, the first 2 years of that, it was kind of like, well, you know, it's just a podcast, or even the first year, it's just a podcast. If it fails, it fails, you know, whatever. But now we've got something, you know, we've grown and making money off of it. And now, you know, like, I mean, we hit 28 countries in 2025. Mm-hmm. And we grew 1,000%, and there's people that listen to it all over the place. And, you know, I think that's kind of the pressure that I'm probably feeling right now. It's kind of like, hey, you're letting people down if maybe you don't put out an episode, right? And not just yourself. But that's not true. It's just my mind playing tricks on me, right?
No, I'll definitely say the cool thing with your podcast, you have like, what, almost 200 episodes now? Or
oh, man, this will be like 159. So, yeah, okay, 159, yeah.
Yeah, you're definitely getting up there. So there's definitely plenty, you know, for newer people coming into the podcast, listening to it. There's so much, you know, for new people to listen to. And why not always go back and, you know, maybe someone getting into a trade, if they got into that, and they can go back and say, oh, well, now I understand that now, too. So
hell yeah. I like that. That's a good one, too. Like, so I was scrolling just before Christmas and I saw your content, right? I was like, hey, fuck, I like Kaylee's. Actually, I think you sent me a message first.
Yeah, yep.
But after you sent me the message, it must have moved your stuff into my feed, my FYP. Okay. Then you sent me the message and then I started seeing your videos. And I'm like, oh, but I think I had messaged you back before I started seeing them, right? And then one of those things happened. You messaged me, I messaged you back, and then I might have went to your profile, but then it started sending me your stuff, right? Okay. And I was like, hey, man, you know, like, Why not get Haley on the podcast? Like, she's badass. She's a blue collar baddie. And, you know, she works in the oil field and the Michigan oil field, which we talked, mm-hmm. you know, not a lot of people know that there's even an oil field in Michigan.
Yeah. Right? Yep. It's a pretty big oil field. They started it back in like the 70s, and it's mostly a lot of oil wells, and they haven't done a lot of like laterals and all that. So they're just punched all over up here. And now I'm definitely more downstream of the oil field. So servicing and maintaining and all that, but there's going to be years and years of that to, you know, still do. So there's a lot more stability in it on this side of things.
Oh yeah. How long have you been in the oil patch for?
I have been in it now for almost 9 years, since I started when I was 18.
Good for you.
I went out to Pennsylvania and started on, I got my foot in the door with water transfer out there just to start. And then I moved away from that quickly from the fracs. And then I was hauling some glycol out there. And then I went to doing flow back. And then after that, I came back up here.
Did you always have your CDL, or did you get that afterwards?
I had my CDL when I was 18, but being I moved out of state, I wasn't able to use it out of state. And then I finally switched everything out there when I turned 21. So then I, you know, started using my CDL out there at that point.
That's pretty cool, man. That's pretty cool. You know, like with water transfer. Hi, how about them water transfer naps? Am I right?
They're terrible.
Man, I think everything to do with frac is like, you know, everyone's having a nap on site at some point.
Yeah, which it's funny, though, because when I was out there, the company we were working for, they would watch us more than anyone to make sure we weren't falling asleep. And if you fell asleep, they ran you off.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Water transfer, right? You guys fucked up. You're flooding the lease, right?
Yeah. Or dry hole. Like, that's not good either.
You guys have frac shack out there, like the frac refuelers?
Out in Pennsylvania, we did.
Yeah. Because I know when I worked for frac shack, they were sending guys out to like Pennsylvania and stuff like that to train. That's how they got them over there to train. We were slow here. So like, oh, you're going on like a training mission or whatever to the US of Pennsylvania and Texas and stuff like that. And when I worked for Frac Shack, man, we had an option, you know, on the computer screen, you put it in manual or automatic, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not supposed to ever put it in automatic, right? They want you awake. They want you watching. Well, like, I showed up, and for the first couple months, I was like pretty like, yeah, I'm important, you know, like manual that stuff. And then, you know, the one time I came in, I got a little complacent. I got a little complacent, and fucking buddy had one of those zero gravity chairs in there.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, oh man, this is about to be a bad time, right? And so I sat down and I leaned it back, and I'm like, I'm pretty. when I fall asleep, I fall asleep hard. But like, I was pretty like cocky about how the fact that like, oh yeah, I can hear anybody coming, I'm good, you know. Well, the back caller at the time, we were buddies, and he's like, I came in to see you last night, but you were out, right? Like I went up to you and whatnot, and you were just out. You wouldn't wake up. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I would have heard that. And he's like, no, you didn't, right? And I was like, oh shit. And I think the worst part was one night I fell asleep. And then, you know, I woke up to an alarm going off on the screen, right? I put it in automatic and
oh no.
And the guys on the frackers on the radio were losing their shit. They're like, we're gonna have to shut down. This pumper's running out of fuel, yada yada yada. I stood up, I put my finger at the screen, and the consultant walked in.
Oh no.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, what's going on here? I'm like, I think the battery's dying, man. Like, it says here it's full, and it did. It said it was full. But like out there, and he's like, I don't need to tell you to stay in your own lane, do I? And then I was like, what the fuck? It scared the shit out of me. I ran out there, I changed the batteries quickly, and it was pretty much empty. But we put the batteries in, it started fueling it. They didn't have to shut down, you know, fucking crisis averted.
Yeah, just then, yeah.
I thought he was gonna call my boss, so I called my boss. I ratted myself out. He never called.
Oh, that's lucky, but you still called your boss.
Yeah, yeah, he never called, man. And yeah, I only worked there for like a year and a bit, and I got the fuck out of there. I was networking with all the services on site, trying to leave. Right, I'm like, I gotta get out of here. I was actually trying to become a wire liner.
Okay, yeah, I was wanting to get into that too, but the time I finally got my opportunity was when I ended up having my daughter, and me and my ex ended up moving back home. So it was like, man, I couldn't have this earlier.
I saw your video, you know, like yeah. Something about believing in things that you still believe in, and it's like, well, a lot of us believe in our ex husbands.
Yeah, believing in Santa Claus, same way believed in our ex or past relationship or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. That's yeah. The one. What's it? Yeah, no, that's fucking. I love that. So like, you fucking, you know, you work on the pumper truck, right? Like, not a lot of people know how pumper trucks work. Like, so what do you do? You roll up on site and what?
So I run a 10K high pressure pump truck. Normally we use it for killing wells. So service rigs can come in and, you know, work on the well, doing treatments, chemical treatments down wells, pigging flow lines if they get plugged up, just a, you know, wide variety of really just, I kind of come in and fix stuff or kill it so that way other people can work on it kind of thing.
Nice. We got a 25K here. We're the only company within 2 hours that has a pump truck. And like, that pump truck was up way up farther north and to the east in Fort McMurray. And it was the only one that our company had. So like, it was up there and the contract for that just ended. So they brought it here. And a lot of the companies that they call, like the oil companies call to bring in their pump trucks, are about 2 hours away, right? So now we have one right in town locally here, right? So now it's like, well, we have one of those other guys, right? So,
right.
Oh yeah, we just, and they, I think the biggest ones they've got around here, like within the 2 hours, is the 10K ones, and we've got the 25K, right? So,
right.
Yeah, I wonder what that's going to do for us now, right? So, yeah.
I mean, what would you guys even really do with 25? Just, like, killing wells and stuff like that?
I don't know. I wouldn't run it. I don't know nothing about a pump truck, right? I just know that there's a lot of pressure there, right? That's all I know. I got to talk to the guy that runs it, but apparently we only have two guys that know how to run it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just have vac trucks and straight vacs and semi vacs and combos and hydro vacs, but I don't deal with that stuff, right? I'm usually on a combo vac. So yeah, I don't know what I don't even know, you know, what a 10K versus a 25K would even be, right? You know, all I know is 25K is a lot bigger than a 10, obviously.
It's a lot bigger. I could see that being more equivalent to like a cement pump or, you know, something like that. But yeah, I mean, even my 10K for the stuff I do is too much. Honestly, a 5K or even a 1000K pump would work just fine. So you really got to be paying attention.
Yeah, we have some of the deepest wells in North America here, right? They Chevron was here 2 years ago, they drilled the record for the deepest well. And wow. then someone in Texas broke their record. And mm-hmm. then a couple weeks after that, just outside of town here, Chevron broke the record again, right? So yes. like, yeah, we've got some really deep wells out here. I don't know if, you know, the really like the 25K would be good for really deep wells, right? Like how deep are the wells where you guys are?
Oh, they're maybe the deepest one I've been on up here is 11,000. They're little wells up here.
Yeah.
Pretty shallow.
I don't know what kilometers to miles are, but I know there's one that's like 7,000, like 7 kilometers down. So 7,000 meters down and then like 3 or 4 kilometers over. Right. So
okay, yeah.
I don't know what that is, but yeah, it's fucking, they're pretty deep. They're yeah. pretty deep. Yeah. I don't know what the deep one is here. I know the average one's pretty deep, but
yeah, I know out in like Pennsylvania, we were doing something like 30,000 and just crazy stuff like that too. So yeah, but up here they don't really have a lot of laterals. Like I said, it was all done back in the day, and now we're just, you know, maintaining them basically. So
yeah, I was in your neck of the woods actually fucking May last May. I was okay. in your neck of the woods. I drove to Toronto, mm-hmm. and we went through the States, and we stayed in Auburn Hills. How close are you to Auburn Hills?
I'm about 4 hours north of that.
Okay. So like how close are you? So Detroit, I guess you're 4 hours north of Detroit.
Yep. So I'm about like just under an hour from the Mackinac Bridge.
Oh shit. I crossed the Mackinac Bridge when I was a kid a lot.
Yeah.
Man, I used to live in Sault Ste. Marie.
Okay. Yep. We actually used to own my parents owned property on Sugar Island up there.
I have no idea where that is.
It's right in between the States and so you were on the Canada side of the Sioux.
Yeah.
It's right in between both Sault Ste. Marie's right there.
That's pretty badass. So we used to take the Mackinac Bridge. It's like one of the largest bridges in North America.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it's like longest bridge maybe.
I think it's the longest suspension bridge or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, I didn't know I was crossing like something epic when I was a kid, obviously.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you have no idea what we're on right now. Right. Yeah. As I get older, you know, you learn about the Mackinac Bridge and like, you know, like architectural, like fucking ingenuity or whatever. And like, you know, learning about the Mackinac Bridge is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely cool going over it now. Hauling campers and stuff over it, or really anything over it. As a kid, my dad would just be like, you guys need to shut the hell up, because when would be going back and forth. And so sometimes it wasn't always a fun thing to go over it.
Yeah. Hell yeah. No, that's badass. Do you get a lot of, as a woman on a pumper truck, you get a lot of like, you know, the guys on site, like giving you a hard time, or like, hey, where's the operator? They assume you're like a swamper or whatever.
For a while there it was, but I worked at a company before the one I'm at now and kind of got to know everyone I work with and, you know, built up my reputation there, and then came over here and got in a pump truck. So most of them kind of already knew who I was and knew, you know, I knew how to do the work. But out in Pennsylvania, just in general, I got, oh, you don't belong out here, or you should be at home in the kitchen taking care of kids. I mean, I got that stuff all the time. So it was nice to kind of break in easy at another company running vac truck, get a good reputation, and then switch over. There was a lot more patience with it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's fucked up, man. That's fucked up. I know when a woman shows up on site, man, like, I'm like, man, I got to bring my A game today because she's bringing hers.
Oh, yeah. We have something to prove.
Yeah. You come in with a chip on your shoulder, I know you're about to outwork the fuck out of everyone here. And I'm just like, man, like, not today, Satan. You know, like, I got, I'm 5'4", right? So, like, I got to outwork. If a woman's taller than me, it's like, shit. If she's shorter than me, I definitely got to watch out, right? Because, man, I don't get the whole the women don't belong thing, right? Like, man, I work with some mm-hmm. women that, you know, they more than pull their own, and they got your back, you know?
So, oh, yeah. Yep. I mean, that's – I work around service rig hands all the time, and I'm only 5'3", and I'll cuss them up and down and yell at them, and then they don't know, and then they don't mess with me. But I also get up there and help lay down tubing or run tongs. I mean, I've worked a rig floor, so I've also proven myself in that way, too. I'm not just going to sit in the truck when they're out there working all day.
But the tubing's heavy, man. You know, as a guy on the vac truck, I was chatting with my buddy. I see him all the time, right, when I'm out there doing the service and shit like that and sucking shit up and whatnot. And one day he's like, man, you want to give me a hand with this? I'm like, yeah, man, let's go. How bad could this be? You're doing it, right? And, like, you know, yeah, it's fucking heavy, man. I was you know what, maybe this ain't for me, you know, like, and then I mean, I help him out anyways, I do it all, but, you know, I made a video about it one time with that, it was a cap cut template where that guy, that skinny guy was like, you want to mess with this, you want a piece of me, right? And I'm like, when the vac hand is asked to come help out, you know, one of the rig hands or whatever, and I lift that one pipe, and afterwards I lift one, and I'm like, man, right? And it's like, nah, dude, do that all fucking day, because after that I was sat for a couple hours, I'm like, you know, leave me alone.
Right, when you got to lay down rows on rows of that stuff, it gets tiring. There's definitely a technique to it, but you got to do it for a while to get that down.
For sure. I was just before Christmas, I was helping we were doing a winterization of a frac, right? They were shutting down for Christmas, and they're like, let's do a partial winterization when we come back, you know, we'll fire up. And we were cleaning out their P tanks and the 400s and all that shit on site. And fucking Green Hand out there, right? Brand new guy. He's just fucking talking to me and asking me these questions. And I'm like, I haven't been asked these kinds of questions in a long time, right? I'm like, is this guy retarded or something, right? And like, no, he's new, right? Yeah. Like, he didn't know a lot of shit, right? Yeah. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, fuck, all right, cool, you know, like, I've been in the patch for 16 years, you know, I remember when I was that guy asking all the questions, right, and, you know, now, he was fucking, he was lifting this shit up, and he was, like, giving her, right, and I'm like, fuck, good for you, bud, you know, like, as much as, like, I don't think I would want to be lifting those pipes around, he probably wouldn't want my job either, sticking his head in the tank and spraying water in minus 30, and, like, we're just masters of our own domain, right?
Right. No, I definitely don't want your job. I'm not about getting in tanks and doing all that stuff. No, thank you.
Yeah, fuck that. I stuck my head that job. What was it? Was it that job? Yeah, I think I talked about it maybe once on the podcast before Christmas there. Fucking, those LELs, they'll fuck you up, right? Like, you get baked, right? Yeah. And, like, I was in the tank, and this is the closest I think I've ever come to going down in a tank, right? Like, I was in there. We tested the atmosphere. It was good. Mm-hmm. And then we stuck the steam in there for a while when I went to the other one. And when I came back, I didn't take into account that the steam had melted everything off the walls and exposed shit. I jumped in. I'm fucking spraying shit down. I'm most of the way done cleaning this thing. And my earplugs start fucking talking to me, man. Like, they tripped me out. Like, I was waked. I was tripping. I was on a trip. And I kept going to the door, stick my head. I'm like, ugh. I come back and I'd be like, I start hearing ringing, right? I'm like, okay, you know, like, I gotta get out. So I get out. Buddy's like, what are you doing? I'm like, stick your monitor in there for me for a second. Pull it out. It's like 16% LELs, and it was not done counting yet. I pull it back out. And then fucking after half an hour, I jump back in, right? I'm like, oh, this is a lot better, right? Oh, and I didn't put the earplugs back in because they tripped me out.
That was crazy.
Yeah, I got back in there. I finished most of it before I left. I was just hallucinating in the tank. I was like, what the fuck? Right? Yeah, man. And like, that was a wild time, man. And the consultant comes over. He's like, how was that for you? And he's like, I saw you get out. I saw your eyes. I saw the look on your face. Right. He's like, I'm standing right there. You didn't see me. I'm like, no, I didn't. And he's like, yeah, dude, you were fucked up. Like,
that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. I'm not about that. They tried getting me to get my certification to go in tanks because I'm small. And I'm like, no, thanks. Nope. I'm not going to do it.
5'4", man. I fit perfectly in there, right?
Right. No, I'm not doing it. Someone else can clean out my truck tank. I don't want to.
I was having this conversation with one of my coworkers last night, actually, about the cowboy shit we used to do when we were younger, right? Mm-hmm. We're on site. We're in our 20s. We're invincible, right? Like, hey, you know what? Like, fucking, as long as I'm safe in my own mind, right, I'm going to do this. And he was telling his stories. And then I told him about the time I worked on a gravel crusher. And I jumped in the cone, and there was this much space. My hard hat wouldn't fit in there. I had to take it off, crawl down the belt, And then I had to hold on, and it was a 12-hour job. Once a week, we had to get in there and clean out the cone and whatnot. And but there was so little space, I had to like take a shovel or a shovelful or two, then crawl back out, let them run the belt, and that took 12 hours. But the one time, I figured it out. I'm like, okay, there's a hack. I'm 21 years old, right? Fucking, I'm not smart at all. But I was standing above, and I found a little ledge that I could sit on. Right. So I got as much as I could off that wall. And then I'm like, hey, run it. Right. So I held on. And if I fell, it was straight down 90 degree up. And then fucking my legs would break. My back would be broken. And I would be dead. I wouldn't feel a thing. Right. There would be no feeling that. And yeah, so it took it from like a 12 hour thing to like an 8 hour thing. I save those guys 4 hours every week doing this. Right. And for what? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
made by the hour. I was just a 20-year-old cowboy, you know what I mean? Like, just fucking let's go, right? Okay. Trying to be the hero. And the one time my hand slipped a little bit, and I'm like, ooh, and I put my foot against the wall, and I sat there, and then I'm like, hey, shut that fucking thing off, right? He shuts it off. I get repositioned, like, hey, turn it on, go, right? I did that a few times, and yeah, man, it was, yeah, thinking about all the stupid shit we do when we're younger, right?
It's definitely not worth it looking back now, I'm sure.
No, no.
So, heck no.
How old are you?
I'm 26, going to be 27 here soon.
Oh, man. When's your birthday?
February 19th.
Mine's February 4th.
Really? Oh, there you go.
37 on February 4th.
Oh, hell yeah.
You say you're 36, turn 37?
No, 26.
Oh, right. No, don't. Yeah. So we're 10 years apart. Nice.
Yep.
Nice. That's crazy. Yeah, man. I remember when I was your, that dumb shit really stopped for me when I started having kids, right? It was just like, man, you know, like I gotta cut that shit out, you know, like, yeah. And then, you know, you start getting hurt a little bit. I cut open a bundle of pipe one time and I wasn't wearing my safety glasses, and the metal banding that was on it snapped back and hit me in the eye, detached my retina. I was off for 6 months. Yeah, and this past, like, I guess in 2024, I broke my ankle at work and was off for 6 months. So it was, or 5 months anyway. Made my broken ankle my entire personality on the internet for 5 months. So that was cool.
I did the same exact thing.
Yeah?
It was in September of 24. Yeah. And it was the dumbest way I did it, too. So stupid. I went up, stepped up in my truck to grab another gear to be able to run a higher rate. And I don't know, I guess I was trying to get out really quick. And I stepped down and I was in sand and just completely rolled my ankle under and broke, like, all five ligaments. I now have a plate, two screws in my ankle. Like, I just totally destroyed it all from stepping down into sand.
Shit.
Yeah, and I was off for 7 months.
It's brutal. So mine happened in 2025, sorry, at the beginning of 2025, February 21st.
Okay.
So yeah, I was off for till July 4th, I think I was off for. But mine happened, I had a steam line pretty much blow up in my face.
Oh, geez.
Right? And I jumped out of the way, right? And this thing was pressured up and like whoosh, going. Mm-hmm. I jumped out, there was ice, and I landed, and my feet completely inverted.
Yep.
And the bone that connects my foot to my leg dislocated. Ooh. And it was minus 30, so I didn't feel anything. And I got up to get away because the line followed me out. And when I got up, I went back down because nothing there to support it. And I broke the fibula. And then at some point in there, I cracked the ankle ball almost in half. Oh, and then so all in all, there was like, you know, two broken bones, two dislocated bones, a bunch of torn ligaments or bandaged ligaments and whatnot. And, yeah, I didn't feel a fucking thing. It was minus 30. I had to crawl 30 feet to get out of the way of that fucking line that was pressured up, and then I crawled back to get my phone. But didn't feel a thing, man. The most painful part about it was when I started physio and walking again. Yep. I didn't have surgery either. I didn't need surgery. I missed out on surgery. There's no hardware in my foot or anything.
Yeah. The crazy part, like, with the physical therapy for me, they thought it was just like a bad sprain or something like that. So I did physical therapy like that for 3 months too. And then they noticed it wasn't getting better. And they did I think it's a CAT scan or MRI or whatever it is. Then they're like, oh crap, you broke every ligament in there and you do have a fracture and this and that. It's like, oh, I've been telling you, it's messed up.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah, man, it's not fun.
A lot of good came out of it, though. I had 6 months off, five months off, whatever it was. A lot of good came out of it. I don't know if you listened to that episode of the podcast or not, but I had a lot of downtime with my family that I otherwise never got to have before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to take part in my oldest daughter's parent-teacher council, right? I got to, you know, what's happening there. My youngest daughter, she graduated from preschool, and I got to go attend that and meet her friends. And, you know, there was a lot of healing. Mentally, I was destroyed. Mentally, shit that happened like 30 years ago was creeping up on me, and like I didn't know how to deal with it. That I was just a miserable prick all the time, right? Yep. And like I was taking it out on my family. Turns out I have borderline personality disorder, and you know, the podcast was sponsored by BetterHelp for a large chunk of last year, and I got therapy out of it, and you know, learned a lot about that, how to control that shit, and you know, like journaling and fucking just communication in general, which is, I told my wife this the other day. I'm like, who knew that the answer to most of my problems was just talking to you about it?
Right. Yeah. Right?
That inner dialogue in my head is no longer on like repeat or playing on a loop for 24/7 anymore. Right. It's no longer, you're not good enough. You're not a good person. You're a shitty dad. You're a shitty husband. Yada, yada, yada. All you do is work, blah, 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 blah. All I got to do is talk about it and journal and fucking it's not, that's as simple as that. It was as simple as that. What? It was nuts, man. It was absolutely nuts. The things that, you know, 2025, you know, did for me and my family and me as a person, as an individual. So.
Yeah. No. See, and I really struggled because really all I've ever done is just work nonstop. So when I was sitting at home, I almost felt guilty sitting at home with, you know, having an injury like that, like, oh, I just want to be out there. And yeah, I definitely got some well-needed time, you know, with my daughter and just to, you know, be at home more and get the house cleaned up, which, you know, I work all the time, so I don't have much time to do that. I just kind of get my life organized. But yeah, it just got to a point I was going insane. Like I needed to go back to work. And same as you, I knew I had ADHD, but I finally got it diagnosed because I was going so stir crazy. So yeah, it's crazy how that stuff will manifest, you know, when people like us working in the trades, we get so much downtime and it can wreck you, but hopefully you can find a way to turn it into something that is good and realize, you know, that stuff you haven't been able to.
100%. And that's, I think, like part of the first message you sent me was like, hey, I found your podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, talking about mental health and stuff like that. And I went through my own stuff and whatnot. And yeah, like, you know, that was a big part of like, oh, fuck yeah. You know, like knowing that you see this number that, you know, this many people downloaded and listened to your podcast, right? Mm-hmm. But like to actually put a face to one of those numbers, mm-hmm, and like, you know, someone that's, you know, in an industry similar to yours and, you know, going through similar stuff and like that. And then, you know, being more than willing to come on my podcast and become a part of that story and this journey. That's cool. I think that's freaking awesome. You know?
No, I definitely appreciate the opportunity. I mean, I've never got to do anything like this before, so it's definitely cool.
This is your first time ever doing a podcast?
Yeah.
I'm rushing it. You know, so many people come on for the first time and they're like, they're really shy and reserved and shit. And like, they don't know how to keep up a flow of conversation. And like, you're making it really easy for me. So.
Well, it works since we, you know, kind of work in the same industry doing kind of the same thing. So.
Hell yeah. What do you plan on, you know, staying, you know, operating pumper truck, or do you have a trajectory or a plan you want to follow?
I definitely want to, I don't want to be a truck driver for much longer. No. Where I'm at now, the next step would be hot oiler. And then hopefully after that, try and move into a supervisor position. Cause I don't want to be in a truck forever.
I'm 37, just about here. Right. And I had an opportunity to get out of this, 3 years ago, I guess. When another vac company, a guy who has an incredible story actually of how he got, you know, to where he is and how he started off as a rig hand, saved up money for 2 years to buy a truck that he couldn't even drive. So he had to hire a driver and be his swamper until he learned. You know, he offered me a social media position within his company. He's like, just come and, make videos for us, man. Like, we'll give you this much money per year. And I was afraid, right? I was scared. And I walked away from that, and I kick myself every day. The older that I get now, like 3 years is not a long time, but like in the last 3 years, you know, my life has evolved at such a rapid pace, you know, and that is one part of, you know, the evolution that maybe I wish I would have taken a little bit or tried, you know. There was definitely a thing there with leaving where I currently work, right? Where I was scared to leave and not know if I can make it somewhere else. And then last year I did leave and go somewhere else. And then I broke my ankle. They shit on me. They used my ankle like injury against me and threw me away. So now I'm back here. But the fact that I proved to myself last year that I can make it outside of here and go other places and be just fine.
Yeah.
I kicked myself for that first opportunity. Right. And now there's another opportunity where buddy's like, he works for Badger, you know, Badger.
Yep.
He works for Badger and he's looking for a supervisor to, you know, I have to look into that more a little bit. We'll have to talk a little bit more, see if I'm ready for that next step of that kind of step. That's different than the social media thing, but that's a different kind of step. And I think I could be pretty confident doing it. And, you know, the answer is always no if you don't ask anyways, but I'll never know if I don't even take that step, if I can do it, right? What's the worst that happens? I end up back here.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely think the one thing that holds us back in this industry is like we get too comfortable doing certain jobs, and then that's when it gets dangerous, or that's when you just stay, you know, in a position as a hand or something like that, and then you don't move up. Like if you're comfortable just being in that job, then you're probably not going to make it doing anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. We are our own worst enemy. We're our own roadblocks, right? We're, you know, it's a mental thing. 100% it is. Where I was going to go with that, where it originally started was like, so you kind of mentally took a little bit of a nosedive or?
Yeah. It was just, I'm not meant to sit at home at all. So just sitting, like I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go anywhere. So I just had to be laid up on the couch, and I have to stay doing something or my mind will just wander to, like you've said, you know, stuff years ago or stuff currently. And it was insane just sitting at home. I can't handle that.
Yeah, it definitely could have been worse for sure. It would have been bad if, you know, I didn't have anything, I don't think, or, you know, was kind of not okay in sitting there if I didn't have anything to work on. I had a lot to work on within myself and a lot of shit that I didn't even know was wrong, right? Like my parents split when I was six. 30 years later, I'm feeling that, right? Like my mom moved 8 hours away, and I don't have memories of Christmas with my mom ever. I don't have memories of cuddling up on the couch with my mom, you know, having like little, I do remember my mom moving 8 hours away. Sorry. And us writing letters to each other through the mail. We'd send each other like, I love you, I miss you, yada, yada. I remember that shit, right? But like, especially this past year when I was there visiting, and we did like 70 hours worth of driving and shit like that, it really hit me. I sat across from her on Mother's Day for the first time in a long time and watched my kids enjoy her and shit like that. But it really kind of started pissing me off a little bit that like my dad had me and my mom had my two sisters, and why wasn't more of an effort made for us to all see each other, you know? Like,
yeah,
30 years later, my dad is saying that my mom's the one he let get away, right?
Oh, geez.
Right. Hey, but if that's the case, then why wasn't more of an effort made? You know what I mean? My dad didn't have his shit together, and my dad still doesn't have his shit together, right? But like, I don't know if that's part of his mental health coming back too, right? It could be, you never know, right? But yeah, there's a lot of shit there.
Yeah. I mean, that had to have been hard, not only being away from your mom, but you're away from your siblings too, you said?
Yeah, I tried to drown the oldest of my sisters when we were like young. My dad, my mom, my dad let me babysit so get this, I was 5 years old. My sister was fresh out the womb, right?
Oh, no.
My other sister was like maybe turning just one, right? So like my parents were very busy, right? So like, yeah. So my dad and my mom went on a snow machine ride, right? For like 2 hours. They left their 5-year-old to babysit their less than 1-year-old and their 1-year-old, like newborn, right? Thinking back to that, man, that's wild. Like how
wild
it hit the ceiling or hit the fan this day and age if people found that out, right? My mom and my dad get into a snowmobile accident. My mom almost dies, right? Like she dies under a car. My mom comes back. She's got a bruise that went from her head to her toe, right? And then my dad put me in the bath with my sister. We were young. It was harmless shit, right?
Yeah. But
she puts me in the bath with her alone, and then she's annoying the fuck out of me. He walks away, and he comes back, and I've got her head under the water. Right? Just trying to see if this bitch can fucking breathe, you know? Like, are you a fish, you know? And my dad loses his shit on me. I remember this. I remember that part, right? But, like, yeah, man. Like, the my dad had me. My mom had my sisters, and there was no effort made, right? Like, maybe once a year, you know? It'd be like, oh, you know? And then my dad got with another woman almost immediately. There was no like us time, you know, a guy, mm-hmm. a boy loses his mom and, you know, needs that one-on-one time with his dad.
Right.
Needs him. And then he just abandons him for another woman and immediately. But there's a pattern there. Cause when my stepmom and my dad split, my sister needed her dad more than anything. Cause my dad mm-hmm. had a kid with this woman. And then he immediately goes out and finds another woman, right? My wife essentially and I took care of my younger sister while my dad went out doing whatever he was doing, right? It was crazy. And that my wife and I just talked about that the other day. And like that, I just realized like, oh shit, like my younger sister, my baby sister is essentially mine and my wife's first kid.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine that. I've never been in that situation, but I definitely feel for people who've had to do that stuff. I mean, that's terrible, but I'm sure it's helped you now to know what you don't want to do, you know, for you and your kids.
Well, I'm seeking help for my mental health stuff and learning about myself and showing up for my kids in ways that my parents didn't show for me. Right. My youngest daughter is now the age that I was when my parents split.
Okay. Right?
And when I look at her, I'm like, she's so aware. She's so smart. She knows what's going on all the time.
Definitely.
Was I like that when I was six? Did I know what was happening around me? And like, I look at how much like our divorce or separation would crush that little girl. Right.
Yeah.
And like, I just think back, man, like, you know, like, fuck, man, like where, you know, where was, you know, my help or whatever, or, you know, like not everyone should stay together if it's not meant to be, but like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, my wife and I, we've been together 20 years now. And if fucking, you know, we have our issues, man, I got to stay and work out those issues for my kids. Right. Like if not for the relationship, for the kids.
Yeah. Yep. And I went through a divorce and it just, ultimately that was just, we both worked in the oil field, weren't around each other. Then we came home, ended up working at the same company and just kind of realized like, you know, we grew apart and that's simply what happened there. But it's definitely devastating though, even though, you know, it wasn't really anything toxic that happened. Knowing my daughter has to grow up not knowing her mom and dad together because we split up before she was a year. But the relationship I'm in now, he has two kids and all of our kids love each other. Like it's healthy, you know, it's better than the alternative of staying with someone who, you know, it wasn't going to work. So
And I understand that too. Right.
Yes.
My parents. And when I said, you know, where was the thought behind that? I remember my parents arguing and fighting. I remember my mom hiding in a closet, right?
Yeah.
I was in 5 and 6, right? I remember my mom hiding in a closet. I remember her crying. I remember my dad as an alcoholic, you know, raising his voice and screaming and yelling and right. But there were ways to fix that, right? And they're boomers. So, you know, they have mental health issues, but getting help for them, seeking out help for them just wasn't in the cards. There was no way that was going to happen. That was seen as weak. That was seen as like, oh, wait, if the neighbors know I'm going to see a therapist, they're going to like, shit on me, right?
Right.
Man, now if you don't go see a therapist, you're a fucking problem,
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's available, it's there, but yeah, that the whole prideful thing that they have that, you know, oh, getting my mental health taken care of is just, you know, such a bad thing. It's insane. I mean, I had a good household growing up, but it was very no emotion, I would say, you know, but as we got older and, you know, me and my sisters became more aware and like, hey, this isn't right. We kind of opened up and made them realize too, but
yeah.
You know, yeah, I wish my parents had a little bit more of that emotion, but like I said before, now I know that's something that I'm not going to do to my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to show her all that. So
my wife and I, we fight and argue, right? But like, we don't raise our voices around the kids. And if right. we do, my kids see me apologize. If I'm wrong, my kids mm-hmm. see me apologize. My wife's wrong, my kids see her apologize, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you know what? Things got a little out of hand. I'm sorry that I yelled at you.
Right.
I'm sorry I raised my voice, or like, hey, you know what? Like, hey, I'm wrong and I'm sorry, right? And my kid, I make sure my kids see that shit, right? Because mm-hmm. I want them to, you know, look at our relationship and go out and find a man or whatever they're into, a dog, a cat, whatever. Fucking, I want them to see a relationship that, you know, they deserve, not like, not how to settle for one, right? And like, yeah. that's important. That's very important. And like, I feel like when I was going through my shit, my kids, in my brain, my kids would ask me to, if I want to go outside and play, or ask me a question, and I would snap, right? I'd be like, no, right? Like, and looking back at that, I'm like, who the fuck is that guy, right? Like, why would I do that? You know, now my kids ask me a question or whatever, and like, it's a teaching moment, right? It's a teaching mm-hmm. moment. My 5-year-old daughter said, or my 6-year-old daughter said, my dad's not an asshole anymore. Words, man. And I'm like, I was never trying to be an asshole. Sorry daddy was grumpy, sorry that you right. know I had unresolved issues that, you know, they weren't my fault, but they are my responsibility mm-hmm. to deal with, right? And I'm sorry that, you know, it took me that long to figure that out, right? And yeah, man, I taught my daughter this year how to throw a frisbee. She found it at the park, she brought it home, and she's like whipping it around at high speeds and it's not going anywhere. I'm like, nah, bring it over here, light, nice and light, just
yeah,
just lick of the wrist, nice and light. She's throwing frisbees around the yard and with accuracy and shit. And she's teaching my younger daughter how to throw the frisbee now. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I did that, right? Like, I taught her, she taught her. Now we're outside having fun with that, right? And
oh yeah.
And that brings a tear to my eye, because you know, mm-hmm. like my dad, man, I, you know, just a grumpy asshole, right? And I was here, yeah. I am Mr. Grumpy Asshole's Junior, right? So
no, I mean, yeah, it's the biggest thing is learning from the mistakes they did and, you know, changing it completely. But I mean, luckily kids, young kids are very forgiving. And if you turn that around, you know, as soon as possible, then they're probably not even going to really remember it. It's not even really going to be there at some point. So
yeah, hopefully. Well, they remember the one time I kicked a garbage can in the opposite direction of them. I was frustrated with the garbage can. I'm like, what the fuck? And I kicked it in the opposite direction. And they're like, hey, remember that time you threw a garbage can at us? I'm like, you mean in the opposite direction of where you were standing? Like, yeah. And they're like, no, it was at us for sure. And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And that was like 3 years ago.
Oh,
like,
no.
Man, they bring it up because they know that like I'm embarrassed by it. And they bring it up. They know, like, I kind of chuckle about it. But like, I also, my youngest daughter, I swear she likes watching me struggle. Right? She loves it. She lives for the struggle. She's like, I can tell this bothers this guy, right?
They're like, so evil sometimes. Oh, I swear to God.
How old's your daughter?
She is 3.
Oh man. Oh man. Man, 3-year-old, 3, like they're fun at 3. They're just getting fun at 3. Right?
He's feisty and ready. I'm definitely getting a dose of my own medicine with this one.
Oh yeah. Oh, like my daughter is 6 and like she's really intelligent for a 6-year-old, mm-hmm. right? Like super smart. It's the YouTube probably. But like I don't even want to get into the questions she's asked me, but I'm like, yeah, there's no way a 6-year-old knows this. But like so she's talking to me, when she's having a conversation with you, she's 6 years old, you feel like you're talking to a 20-year-old, right? Just the shit she knows and can like communicate with you, and the context of words, mm-hmm. right? Like, she knows how to use them. And then you're just like, all right. And then when she does something that pisses you off, you go to get mad at her like she's a teenager. And then she throws a fit like she's 6.
Like she's 6, like, yeah.
Oh, fuck, I got to remember this kid's only in kindergarten, right? Like, yeah. Fuck, man. Like, Like, you know, she'll, oh, fuck, she's evil. I fucking love her, though. I love her. She's funny. I don't ever give her shit for anything. It's, I make my wife do that. Like, I'm like, no, no, I can't.
it's ridiculous. Mine's kind of a dick, so I'm like, just, she's hilarious. It's funny.
I had to put soap in her mouth over Christmas. Not for swearing.
Oh.
Say whatever you want. She knows not to say it at school. Or, and I swear she plays up her angel fucking thing around certain people. I don't care about the swearing. Swear around me. It's funny. We'll have a conversation that way. You know when not to use it. I don't have to have that conversation with her. It's the hitting. The hitting, man. She hits to hurt. Like, if you don't react like you're in pain the first time, she's coming back for more and harder.
Oh, my gosh.
I swear. Yeah. So she, her poor sister gets the brunt of it, right? So while I was home over Christmas, like, I'm like, go get the soap, right? And she's like, oh, okay. What's the soap for? She brings me the soap, and I'm like, I made my wife do it again. I'm like, I can't. I can't. Like, I felt so bad. I'm like, this hurts me more than it hurts. Right. And then she puked everywhere. She puked, like, just went on a puke. I'm like, this wasn't worth it. Right. Like,
now you have to clean that up.
Now you got to clean up. This ain't worth it. Fuck. It was almost like she just let you keep going what you were doing. Right. Like, but it sent a message. She stopped hitting. She's afraid to hit people right now. She's got it twice now in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. So, like, afraid to hit.
They're so violent. Even, like, I have my 3-year-old, my boyfriend has a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, so we're in the middle of it. Oh, and the 2 3-year-olds just go at it all the time. Like, it's nonstop. And it's like, quit hitting each other. Like, it hurts both of you guys. Just stop.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane.
I swear one of them's gonna die. One of them's gonna fatally hurt the other one.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it's not gonna be my oldest. My oldest doesn't give up. My oldest is like, we're all afraid of the young one. All of us.
Yeah.
Every single one of us, we're afraid of her. And she's afraid to hit right now, though, right? She went to go hit my other daughter the other night while I was on FaceTime. And then she kind of looked, and then she's like, you know what? I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry, right? And then, I'm like, you need to get the soap. And she's like, no, I didn't hit her. I came close, but I didn't do it. And I'm like, okay. All right. Yeah.
Now it's going to be a game.
Fucking kids, man. What basin or what is the formation that you guys drill in Michigan?
So we have the Antrim Shale, which is a much shallower, mostly oil producing. Then we have a PVC shale, and then I think there's one of the ones in PA that come up. Kind of into Michigan too, kind of more southern Michigan.
Okay. But
yeah, I mean the Antrim is the biggest one we work out of for sure.
Like you said, not many people know that there's oil and gas in Michigan, right? And it makes sense because, you know, Sarnia borders Michigan, and Sarnia, like, Ontario was the first oil and gas field in Canada, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's Petrolia and whatnot. And so it makes sense that there's, you know, some, you know, it runs south, right? So it just makes sense. I'm like, yeah, there's got to be oil in Michigan too. It borders fucking Sarnia, borders Michigan. So
there's a lot of it here. We don't do anything in the Upper Peninsula, but mostly Lower Michigan. We have a lot, and a lot of it is consolidated to, like, northern Lower Michigan. So, like, more tip of the mitt area. So I live right in the middle of it. So it's nonstop.
The Bakken in North Dakota, it runs into Canada, right? So the Bakken is in part in Saskatchewan too, right? I didn't know that for the longest time.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I thought that was mostly North Dakota area.
Yeah, it runs right into Saskatchewan. And then, you know, the oil sands in Fort McMurray, right? You know about the oil sands? So the oil sands in Fort McMurray, large chunk of it, right, you know, is in Fort McMurray, but the biggest part of the oil sands is actually on the other side of the border in Saskatchewan too. Like, it's untouched. They haven't done anything with it. It's not developed. There's no infrastructure there. Most of the oil sands actually, like, if you look at the map of it, is in Saskatchewan, the bulk of it, right? So Yeah, we only hear 1/3 of Canada's oil comes out of Fort McMurray every day, right? So, but if they were to develop that part of Saskatchewan, that would probably change the whole conversation, right?
So, yeah. It'd probably be like another boom. I mean, are you guys in a boom up there per se, or just steady work?
I think we're coming into one-ish.
Oh, good deal.
Right? So from the end of 2014 to 2015, nasty, nasty crash, right? Like she was doing good. And then she crashed hard, layoffs, everything across the board. It started getting good again, but then, you know, COVID happened. Right. Yep. Like things were picking up, just COVID, boom, crashes it like shit. Right. And then, you know, we come out of that. It's been good the last 2 years, 3 years, I guess. It's been pretty steady. But there are parts of Alberta where I am, like where I work, always busy. Grand Prairie seems to always be busy. There's always shit happening, right? And why I didn't jump into wireline is because right around that time, it started to crash, right? And I'm like, well, last one in, first one out. So what's something that even in a crash keeps busy? The vac truck, right? Everything, you know, there's spills, things need to be, you know, maintained, suck this out, suck that out, clean that up. So I come to where, you know, I get the most bang for my buck, right?
Yep.
So, but, you know, if things keep, you know, maybe going, hopefully we get a little bit. They're building the Pathways Alliance right now. I don't know if you've heard of the Pathways Alliance.
No, I haven't.
All the big companies are building like a hydro carbon capture pipeline.
Oh, wow.
And they found that the pipeline actually works, the hydrocarbons.
Mm-hmm. Right?
They're using all that and they're going to, I don't know what they plan on doing with it, honestly, but a big project in Fort McMurray got greenlit. So yeah, hopefully this means we're booming, but you know, the whole Venezuela thing happens and
yeah,
we don't know where that puts us. Right. Cause America's our biggest customer. Right. So, now having said that, a lot of people are losing their shit. Well, they've got the most amount of oil in the world, right? Venezuela. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Before Maduro took over, they actually didn't have that much oil, right? The numbers were very low. Now he reported that, oh, we got this much, but that was never factually proven. He reported it and they took his word for it. They're like, yeah.
All
right.
So
we'll see how that plays out, right? I don't know. Do you follow Mr. Global on TikTok and Facebook and stuff?
I do not, but I'll have to check that out. I mean, yeah, I've definitely been kind of trying to follow, you know, what's been going on with that as I can, but haven't really had much time to. So
what's it been like for you in Michigan since the whole drill baby drill thing?
So I mean, it's been steady. We've drilled maybe 3 virgin holes up here that I know of. I mean, it's pretty slow. But we'll go in and lateral wells and stuff like that, but it's not really a new drill field around here. It costs too much money, and Michigan, a lot of people don't really like the oil field around here because of the Great Lakes and all that. So we definitely get a lot of pushback there for it.
Yeah, a lot of the tree huggers and environmentalists and shit. Yeah, the same with why Ontario above you guys has the what is that? The belt there. They have the shit. I can't remember what the belt is in Ontario, but if Ontario were to open up the belt, they have more gas, iron ore, resources, minerals, everything in northern, I don't even, it might be northern Ontario. The Ring of Fire, it's called. The Ring of Fire in Ontario. If they were to open that up, they would be the economic engine of fucking North America, most likely, right? Like Ontario alone, right? It would make Alberta look tiny, right? Wow. But they won't do it because it's the Ring of Fire. There's lots of trees. There's lots of lakes. There's an environmental impact there, right? So they won't do it. And the premier, he said when he first got up into power, he said that, he's like, I'll jump on a dozer tomorrow if I have to. Let's go. Let's open this up. And it's been 10 years. Where is he at? You know?
Right. I mean, people got to realize it's either we do it the safest way possible or these other countries are doing it in a terrible way that could affect the environment for everyone at some point. Like, we do it the safest, cleanest way possible. Not to say there won't be problems, but I mean, these people are still driving cars and heating their houses and still doing all this. So if you don't support it, then don't use it at all. It's kind of
Yeah, that's true. It's true. And like, do you want to import oil from a country that beheads people if, you know, oh, I spilled something on the ground or I stole something and like, oh, or I married the same gender. I married another man or I did this or I exposed some skin that I wasn't supposed to and they chopped their fingers off. Right.
Right.
You know, like shit like that. And I mean, like, whatever. I don't know if I'm educated enough on the situation to even comment on it, but I mean, you know, like that's what they say anyway, mm-hmm. right? And who knows what actually happens, but like enough people say it, you know, where there's smoke there's fire.
Yeah I mean, you want to put more money in the people's pockets who aren't, you know, just evil people, then I guess go ahead, but they're gonna learn it's not gonna be good for them at some point.
Yeah, so you guys have drilled like 3 virgin holes. We're in the middle of, fuck, I don't know where we're standing with that. I know 3 years ago, the plan was to come into Fox Creek here and punch 2,500 new holes into the ground within a certain period of time. Mm-hmm. And I'm on a pad right now where they're drilling 7 wells. And then there was a 20 well pad down the way there. And then they're fresh. They're new holes. Right. And I don't know how many they've drilled in the 3 years, but it's gotta be a lot. There's 4 or 5 rigs punching holes everywhere around here within a half hour, 45 minutes. So,
jeez. Yeah, that's crazy. Like, I mean, we have just one, our locations are just, you know, one oil well or one gas well. Like, we don't have any multi-well pads really up here. But, you know, out in Pennsylvania, I was around that. I definitely miss the more cleaner, newer, you know, nicer locations to work on than what I got to deal with.
I was on a cement job the other night. Right. And you guys do cement you do. It was, yep. Work over rigs and shit like that. Yeah. I was on a cement job the other night and it was a lateral. They lost everything. They lost all their fluid and shit like that. Talking to the consultant in the morning about it. We were there 15 hours and they released us like, hey, you guys just leave. Yep. Right. $1.5 million in it cost them that night. They spent, they lost 140 cubes of invert downhole somewhere, wherever it went. They don't know. Yeah. And we're just waiting here to hear. That's why I was like, should we do this podcast now? We're waiting to hear if we're going to be back out there tonight or not. But, man, that pad, one of the biggest pads, they spared no expense building that pad. It is big. Mm-hmm. For, you know, we see a lot of pads around here that, you know, they're pretty big and, you know, but once you bring all the frac crew in and everything that comes with that, the pad gets really small, really quick.
Really small.
This one, man, like, I'm like, shit, dude, you could have the frac in here right now while you guys are drilling. Shit.
Jeez. Yeah. For us, we'll go around plugging wells that are no longer, you know, producing or they just want to get rid of. We're taking dozers to haul our trucks up there and just, you know, just tree branches scraping the trucks, or even some of them now, they're just tiny 2-tracks going back into someone's property. And like, we got to worry about rifle season here. We shut down and all that stuff because we don't want to get shot. I mean, it's a very old school backwoods kind of oil field here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, so, you're not allowed to hunt within a certain distance of a pad, and you can't shoot towards that pad, but there's enough pads. Like, I'm shooting away from this one. I don't know how that works. Is there's another one over here or over here?
Right.
I don't know what the rules around that would be, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
How did you get started in content? Like, why did you go from like, hey, I'm Haley, I'm, you know, pumper operator, yada yada yada, boom, let's start a TikTok page? What started that journey?
Well, really, when I was off for my ankle is kind of when I wanted to get into TikTok shop. So I really wasn't doing a whole lot of work content at that time, just, you know, stupid little filler videos just to try and get followers and stuff. And then when I got back to work, I started doing the work content, and that really took off. mostly, you know, supporting like women in trades and doing all that stuff is really where I took off with it. So it started while I was off work, really.
You're in Michigan. Do you listen to Hunter's podcast?
Yeah. Yep.
4%. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I have some of her hoodies and stickers and all that stuff. Yep.
I love Hunter. She's on mat leave right now. I think she stopped working not long ago. Like, she was going to work for as long as she could. I think she's done now. I haven't heard any of her new podcasts. I don't know if she has any new podcasts in a while.
I haven't heard anything really either.
Yeah. I had Hunter on my podcast. When was that? Was I injured when she was on? I might have been. Nah, I don't know. I don't know. I might have had her on before the injury or after. I don't know. We're just gonna start basing everything in my life post injury and pre. You know, like I can't remember when I had her on. It might have been during. I don't know.
Yeah,
I gotta go back and look.
The cool thing with her podcast, really, it kicked off a lot of like women in trades kind of coming together and finding each other. And there was, you know, a few other podcasts that came from it too. So it was really cool to see, you know, her coming up through that and what she did for really women in trades.
Hell yeah. You know who, her name's Haley too. She runs the Blue Collar Baddies podcast.
Yeah. Yep. Me and her talked about, me coming on that, but she's trying to find enough, women, you know, in Michigan that want to do it. So it still might be a little while, but I'm definitely wanting to get on that one too.
I love her. She sent me a hat. I got the hat over there. Stickers. She has the Blue Collar Grind coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I have like 4 packs of that out there. I have, oh my God, it's so good.
Awesome.
I love the whole, you know, blue collar side of the internet, right? Like this is a lot of fun for me, right? Like, back when I didn't know what I was struggling with yet, right? It was nice to find people that were, you know, going through the same experiences I was going through. And it was cool to have those conversations. And now there's other blue collar podcasts out there, right? Like mine and the Blue Collar Future, the Woman in Trades, the Blue Collar Baddies, the Blue Collar podcast. And you know, it's cool that, you know, and another one that just started, I can't believe, Off the Clock podcast with, I had him on here, Powder Slayer. I was episode one of his new podcast that just came out 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
I'll have to check that one out for sure.
Oh. Man, his podcast for now is only on YouTube until he figures out how to get the audio over. I tried helping him out, but he doesn't have a laptop or a computer. He can only do it from his phone, and there's a lot of editing that goes around with all that stuff.
So
I was episode one of his podcast, man, and it was pretty cool to be a part of someone else's podcast and not have to be in the driver's seat, right?
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is pretty badass there. Do you know what viscosity is?
Yep.
What's viscosity?
In your own words. It's the basically the like weight of or the speed of what something or fluid travels. I don't know. I kind of know what it is, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the weight of fluid, you know, the thickness of your load, you know? You don't have loads, but I mean, the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, and the Mudman deals in viscosity on the rigs, right? The thickness of the fluid going down hole there for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, man. I love that guy. Way back on episode 14, we went on a 5-episode run together where he sponsored the podcast, with a headset and a mic, and well, we never really stopped doing what we're doing. So it was 5 episodes like 140 ago. So, you know, and then two summers ago now, he sponsored the podcast again. He helped us out, hooked us up with a MacBook Pro for editing and shit like that. And that's what I record on now, got me off the phone and stuff. So I love that guy. He's an incredible person. We talk enough and, you know, and yeah, every time I say I need something on a podcast, he reaches out and he's like, so what can I do? Right. And I'm like, you've done enough, bro. Right. You've done enough. Right. And then, which leads me into the next one. I don't do them back to back like that ever, but like, with the mental health talk, right. We podcast very pro mental health, and it's not just men's mental health. It's blue collar mental health and people mental health. And, a drilling consultant reached out to me last year, and he's like, I like what you're doing with the mental health thing. He's like, I want to know how I can, you know, get my crew to be talking more mental health. I try to bring it up, but no one knows kind of where to go with it yet. We're trying, and we got on the phone, we talked, we had a mutual friend, Gord from the mm-hmm. Second Act podcast, and he sponsored the podcast this past summer with a Starlink. So now I have internet wherever I'm going. That comes in handy when I'm on site or in a town where the internet's shitty and I need to, you know, record a podcast or make content, and that's there. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's awesome. I want to try Starlink because even at my own house, I don't live far from town and I still can't get like good internet. It's ridiculous.
Get the Starlink. Yeah. It feels unfair to my phone. Like my phone feels like it's not good enough to keep up with the Starlink.
Oh my God.
I was on site the other day, zero cell service. I had two of my coworkers hook up to it. Mm-hmm. And we were all getting like 200 megabytes per second, right? It was just like, this is awesome, right? He was watching his gay porn and he was watching something else and I was like scrolling and yeah.
Oh gosh.
That was great. It was pretty good. Hell yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know, man. I appreciate you coming on the podcast, though.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. Like I said, this was my first one, so I really do appreciate it.
Popping all the cherries. Bleeding all over the place. I don't know if that's an appropriate comment, but...
No, I don't care. I work in the oil field. I work around rig hands. I hear way worse than that. I say way worse than that.
I love that. Yeah. This isn't... I feel like you'll be back on the podcast. We got to get you back on, though, right? Like, it's... Yeah, I definitely feel like, you know, we'll have more to talk about, but yeah, for sure.
No, I'm down for that.
Hell yeah. Before we go though, you know, I asked one last question, and you know, Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people. I almost said five. Holy shit. The four of the most influential people on the Rock. And if Haley could have her own Mount Rushmore, four people that she looks up to, inspires to be, or that is inspired by, who would they be and why?
First one would definitely be my dad. He's worked in the oil field his whole life. So that kind of, you know, I ended up going that way into the oil field too. His work ethic and all that. So yeah, he would definitely be my first. My mom would be my second. She has a lot of patience and I don't know how she put up with me as a kid. So I definitely respect her for the patience she's had. Third, I honestly got to say is my daughter, because I mean, she has made me learn a lot about myself and just, she's definitely opened up another side of me that I didn't even know I had. And then the fourth one would be definitely my boyfriend. We actually work at the same company, and he was a rig hand, but he switched to the trucking side, and he's taught me a lot about the field and has helped me out with a lot of stuff and has had my back through everything. So yeah, I've definitely had some good people to look up to in my life.
I love that. That's awesome. What's your dad do?
He started out on rigs back in the 90s and then went to being a lease operator and moved up, you know, pretty high up through that company. And his company sold out, but then he ended up owning his own company, third party lease operating. It's easy to do. He already knows how to do it. And it's really good money doing it, you know, that way on your own.
Do you know what the prerequisite in Canada is to be a lease operator?
No, what is it?
I just learned this. One of my coworkers has only been in the oil field for 3 years, no extra education, just got a job as a lease operator. The prerequisite is 3 years of oil field experience.
Really?
Yeah, the 3 years. I've been here for 16 years, bro. Like, I gotta check that out. I gotta do some snooping around here.
You know what's crazy though? I know quite a few people up here who have had no oil field experience get into a pumper spot.
Huh.
That's what I wonder. I'm like, how are you able to do that? They don't even know what they're doing, and you're out here watching all everything, you know, as what's going on. You don't even know what it is.
Get trained, you like look. I don't know, bro. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I mean,
that definitely shouldn't be an entry level spot, in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, when that position is good, it's good. But when shit goes sideways, it can, you know, like
you have to know what you're doing.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. I appreciate you coming on the podcast anyway. First episode of 2026, year three.
Year three of the podcast.
My podcast is old enough and has enough experience now to go be a lease operator.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, in Michigan, yeah, you can get right to it.
Yeah. I'm going to get this podcast is going to be a lease operator. Not even me, just a podcast. Shit. Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm surprised I didn't get a phone call during that time. You know,
me too.
Oil field way, you know, like, if you want dispatch to call you, make plans to do something.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. There you go.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on, Haley. And, you know, stay frosty.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.